We were taking into account the external factors for climate change. And I mentioned about the disaster that has happened in the recent year at Uttarakhand, at Himachal Pradesh, in Kashmir, and so on, in Punjab. All this is climate change effect that we have seen. Some example here also shown of extreme heat that was seen in Mussoorie, where the mercury has been setting above the normal for the past week, breathing 28 centigrade twice in June 2022. This has caused worry among the hoteliers, as the hill town has seen the tourist number dip into the first week of June, which is considered the peak season. Now, these are vectors related to heat, but what about the disaster that we have seen in 2025? An area for concern for all of us, and the overutilization of tourism, supply chain, including the environment that we have totally damaged, and this is the outcome of human intervention. We look into the external factor, which is non-uniform health regulation. What does this suggest? With the arrival and the spread of COVID, the government authorities have put restriction on the movement of the people, and this is, we are going back to 019 onward about the tourism COVID era. This has hugely affected the travel and tourism sector. When tourism opened up, there were requirements that you should have the vaccine for COVID, and the third one was also encouraged, suggesting that as a booster. People were going for it, especially those who would like to protect, and people of a certain age group were promoting that type of the third, which was a booster. Now, with the gradual decrease in the cases, of course, we are talking the era before 2020 and before 22 and 23, that now it has decreased gradually, and now it has become some sort of a nightmare, a past, but still the people keep talking about it. Now, joy is hampered by non-standard health regulation. There are no standard regulation of domestic tourism. And literally, we see littering around, wasted, damaging the environment with the firecrackers, with overutilization of water, taking and draining the water resources in areas where there is short of water, and making a cavity on the land. How do suddenly the bridge and the roads sink because of the cavity that could have been formed by extra usage of the water table at any land? All these non-uniform health regulation that I'm talking are responsible for the loss of tourism, because we have done over tourism. Let me add up something more here to understand. The idea behind seeing growth in tourism factor, creating a demand, was indirectly a pressure that was put on the management, put by management to the staff, that you should continuously show growth. Any amount of technique were used, including arm twisting technique of getting more numbers, forgetting the environment, forgetting the natural resources that we had. We just wanted to show numbers. This year we received 10,000 guests at the hotel. Next year we should get 12,000. We have short of room. Build a room on the existing building. So on and so forth. This has resulted into disaster that we have seen. And these are the external factors that I can count on. Several tests are required before starting the journey. To name a few are RT-PCR, antigen, and so on. Of course, these are no more required, but one of the vaccine that has been there even before COVID is yellow fever. This type of vaccine was always required when you were traveling to yellow fever area. And yellow fever is not just malaria. And this is still ongoing when you travel to countries that had yellow fever area affected by yellow fever. So even now it is required that the individual must carry proof of vaccination certificate. And me as a person, I always have on my mobile the vaccine that I took for COVID, dose 1 and dose 2. Both are there on my mobile phone because it may be needed. You never know. I have not yet deleted, though it is no more a requirement. But as I mentioned, that vaccine for yellow fever is always required if you travel. I'll give example of Uganda or some countries in South America where yellow fever certificate has to be shown and to be exhibited upon arrival in those countries. Now, from external factors, we come into internal factors. And what are internal factors? There are new markets, emerging new markets. They are new because they were not used earlier and they were due to different policies they adopted. Could be a visa policy, could be non-connectivity policy, could be the geopolitical scenario there. They were not very popular in the international tourism market. I would count Vietnam into that because Vietnam opened very recently, not more than 7 years from now, to international tourists. And they started offering visa on arrival, electronic visa, etc., etc. And now this is some of the new destination. And they are competing with the old. From Indian perspective, I will count the new destination as Vietnam, and the old, I would say, Thailand. And the growth of Vietnam, from Indian perspective, is a loss to Thailand. Thailand is registering less number of tourists arrival from India and more number of tourists arriving from India because of various factors that they have looked. One was the visa factor. B was the connectivity. Now we have direct flight from Mumbai to Hanoi and Ho Chi Minh City, which was not there earlier. People were traveling. So these are our new emerging markets. Climate and scenic attractions are major aspect of travel demand. So new destinations are coming up. People are putting up, especially the huge investors are coming, putting their investment into the new destination, bringing in attraction. As I mentioned, finest examples I gave of Singapore, I would also add up UAE, especially Dubai into that. Dubai continuously keep bringing international investment in the man-made tourist leisure activities that results into regularly people traveling to UAE from time to time. We come to mobility. And here mobility means connectivity. How easily you can connect to a destination. So for example, I would pick up the example I just gave is Vietnam. Now you have Vietnam Airlines and Vietjet both coming into Mumbai. And then we have low-cost carriers coming into anything in Surat, Ahmedabad, and so on. So more mobility from the market where demand existed will result into people comfortably traveling instead of coming down to only one or two cities where accessibility was there. For example, direct flight of Myanmar Airways is only from Kolkata to Yangon. Whereas people from other parts of India would need to go to Kolkata to go on a direct flight of Myanmar Airways, either through Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, or through Thailand, Bangkok, or some other route. So mobility plays a very important role, an important factor, especially for domestic tourism also. With the policy adopted by our government, we are building up new airports all around India, and they will be connected to main cities, and that will bring in more people's interest in flying. Destinations like smaller destinations, which were earlier aerodromes or airstrip, are now getting converted into airport. So growth of private and lease vehicle has also provided necessary comfort in travel. For example, during the Ganesh festival season, lot of people use private vehicles to go down to Konkan Belt where they celebrate Ganesh Utsav because the direct buses and trains are limited and people would like to go comfortably in their own car. So with the growth of private vehicles, the trend of moving out of travel is going to increase in the near future. With the taxes being reduced, more people are buying cars now. And that has resulted into more approach towards mobility. Another internal factor is consumers' attitude. Now let us understand what is an attitude means. It is always used in a wrong context. Attitude means one who is arrogant. No. Attitude are generally the ideas, fears, aspiration and belief that people hold about their life. That's an attitude. Suppose you come from, you are well educated. There is nothing wrong in having an attitude because compared to others, you are well educated. You have new ideas. At the same time, attitude is with regard to fears. You get inspired. You have a belief. So people hold that and that is attitude. Lot of good people who take interview, sitting on an interview panel and table, they always appreciate people who have attitude. Attitude are always used wrongly. Here is a correction. So generally one who has ideas, fears, aspiration and belief is attitude. So attitudes vary from nation to nation and are cultural based. So we talk of our sanskar, that is attitude. Yes, you have a religious aspect to travel, that's an attitude. Yes, for example, people will do puja, someone will recite holy book, someone will recite prayer, so on. This is an attitude linked to its religion. So holidays are required and necessary for reducing the work pressure. And that is the consumer attitude. I'm tired. I would like to take a break. I would like to keep my body fit. I would like to have a regeneration. And that is where the attitude comes in. And traveling abroad is related to affluence and social respect in the society. Yes, people do respect me, such persons who have traveled. And they show respect to them because they have traveled extensively. Coming back, another consumer attitude refers to tendency to have multiple holidays per year. Yes, there are a number of people who have made it a rule to have minimum two holidays internationally and one or two holidays domestic. Domestic could be short 3 to 4 days, international anything 7 to 10 days. And they take holiday per year faithfully. Inclination towards short-term and short-duration holiday and even off-season travel. Some people stay home during Diwali. They take a staycation, they go to local destination and come back. The same day they turn around. But when it comes to off-season, they would like to avail the pricing which is lower. They would like to avail the hotel rates that are low. The prices of the airline tickets are low. They travel during off-season, getting the maximum benefit. This is a consumer attitude that is being shown recently. Concept like monsoon tourism. And this has picked up drastically. People love to go to Goa, Kerala and Karnataka because people love to see monsoon. People love to go to Goa and pass through the Dudhuganga. People love to see Kerala, the backwater in the monsoon. People love to go to Coorg in Karnataka, etc. and so on. So emerging trends toward environmental friendly and sustainable tourism is getting a momentum all over the world. I have earlier mentioned there are international tourists who will not accept any product that has no sustainable tourism element linked to that. they would accept only such tourism product which has sustainability in it, which takes care of environment, which takes care of host community, which doesn't damage the nature, which is offering nature as their tourist destination. Another consumer power has come up as an internal factor. Consumer is always right. Customer is always right. So with the consumer power, counting on the following points will suggest to you how consumer power has gained momentum. First is technological development that has made consumer to be powerful. I have my mobile phone, I have my tab, I have my desk, mobile, I have internet, I have my laptop. All these are my technological development that I carry. And so many such development which keep coming from time to time. This is the terms of information search and making the travel decision. So when I sit after a dinner, I can check what I want internationally happening in my own office, happening in my own country. This consumer power has resulted into more demand. Availability of information has benefited the consumer. Now, one has to decide what news I would like to read, what I don't. Then you can set up your technological gadgets according to that. I don't want to see this. I'm interested in this. I'm not interested in this. One can now design and manage his own travel plan. You can ask an itinerary to be done, what I can see in there with the help of artificial intelligence. So this technological development has helped us a lot, drastically helped us a lot. Now we come to the next topic as an internal factor, not as an external and internal factor, but as a geopolitical tension. Significantly impact travel and tourism by influencing destination choices, travel restrictions. Yes, you will not go to a destination which is seeing regular protests happening. In the previous slides, I have given you a reference of Nepal. In the previous year, 2 years back, we talked about the protests in Sri Lanka. And this geopolitical tension resulted in a destination seeing drop in arrivals, because tourist is a soft target. Tourist is unaware of the environment and the area. So they will always go for a place which is tension free. Likewise, people don't want travel restrictions to be pushed when you go on a holiday, especially if you are told. I remember the days when I used to travel to some of my earlier trips. Let me quote here. Ethiopia I used to go, and in Ethiopia there was night curfew by the then Prime Minister who took over as a Marxist rule Prime Minister. And there he imposed the rule that every night there would be curfew. Only 2 days were allowed. One was New Year, another was Christmas. People can remain outside their home. Otherwise, 9 o'clock, you are inside. You can only come out at 6 o'clock. So this sort of activity resulted into dropping tourism arrival. And all this geopolitical tension results into decrease in tourism demand, especially in affected region, and affect international relationship and trade, and ultimately impacting the global tourism industry. I'm coming to explain to you something about geopolitical tension. What are the effects that were seen? Shifting destination choice. So you will not go there because you know that there is a political tension. It is advised in many countries of the world, after election results are announced in those countries, there is always an upheaval. There will be some noises, some disturbance, and so many things that would happen. So certain countries are highlighted with the previous experiences that if elections are held post and pre-election, avoid visiting that country. Likewise, geopolitical tension where restriction on travel is put or visa policies. As a rule, any country that you visit, you are a tourist. You have your limitation. That we should never forget. We haven't gone to any country to protest and show what we can do in our home country that we can do. So these travel restrictions that are there, either you abide by it or you don't go to that destination. Because you would like to do that and you have gone there and you have done it. And if you are arrested because of implementing certain things which were not legally allowed, then you blame the country. So this travel restriction plays some role in as a geopolitical tension. Visa policies play an important role. Many countries are working on coming up with better visa policies so they get more tourists coming to their country. But yes, certain countries in the past have been putting more restrictions on visa. To name the few are, for example, restriction by UK, very recently by US for visa processing. So this policy will result into people avoiding those destinations. Then what are the economic consequences out of that? Whether this will have impact on the economic factor, due to political tension, you will have to worry. When 500 rupees note and 1000 rupees note were demonetized, lot of people around the world, especially Indians, were stuck because they had those funds in the form of 500 and 1000 rupees and they couldn't exchange abroad because that was only exchangeable within India at the banks. That resulted into an economic consequences and big effect on our economy. Also, investment that comes in form of foreign investment also comes in line with the geopolitical scenario that prevails in a specific country. Especially when investment comes and when they have to return the money back or resend the money earned as profit, there are restrictions imposed on it, then there would come up with a political tension. Many airlines have stopped flying to a specific destination because they cannot send the money that they have earned in that country out of that country. I'll give the example of Ethiopia and Eritrea. After a long time, Ethiopian Airlines started flying to Eritrea, a country in Africa, both in Africa. But after some time, when Ethiopian Airlines wanted to take the money which they earned in Eritrea out of Eritrea, the government put a restriction. You cannot take this money out, ultimately resulting into political tension and discontinuation of the flight. And there are many such examples that keep happening. Damage to reputation of the destination country. I highlighted this without any bias. I'm just saying that this geopolitical tension results into damage to reputation. Many countries who have been creating these type of scenarios, people avoid. People think no. And then, of course, it impacts the international relationship. Coming back again to the government policies, tourism is a multidimensional activity controlled by formulating suitable government policy regulatory factors. So mostly supply-oriented instead of demand. Coming back again to understand government policy regulatory should be controlled by formulating suitable policy. You cannot make things very strict. You cannot just say like old time, your visa will be sent to our capital and from there your approval will come in 45 days. Yes. There are few countries where there, if applicant from those countries would like to travel, this policy still prevail good, but they are very few and can be counted on your fingers. Likewise, many countries are banned. Say very recently, 2 days back, UAE announced that they are banning those countries' national to come into that, and they have banned their arrival and issuance of visa to them. This is a government policy because in the past, that country would have noticed. UAE recently did it and they banned the visa for a number of countries that nationals of those countries cannot apply visa. And this is a government policy from what they have learned by their nationals who have come and visited and spoiled this whole scenario. So government policy is in place to safeguard the health and safety of their people. So people importing, because when foreign national comes in, the idea of a foreign national visiting as a tourist is simply as a tourist. You cannot take your political ideology, your social ideology into another country. That's against the law. One of the law very clearly says that you will not take an employment when you go on a tourist visa. And if you do so, then you are against the government policy. So government policy also includes activities such as creating and establishing linkage. What does that mean? You have to establish one and one together. People are applying for visa, the policy should be yes. What is the time frame? How fast you do it? If you are stopping for someone, you should be having a reason to stop visa for that. And the policy is formed in accordance with that. People participation in tourism development, yes. This is one of the very great contributions a tourist can do, that you go there, but at the same time, you pay money and you spend your dollar. Ultimately, you help in the development of tourism because of infrastructure development, that funds are helpful. And exploring working opportunities, public and private partnership. There are a lot of people who go to UAE on a visitor visa and they look for working there and then they return and take up employment on another visa. This helps people to taking first as a tourist visa and then looking for opportunities. And they play a pivotal role in tourism management and its promotion. Government policies are also, its role includes following tasks, facilitating the growth of tourism sector. When policies are designed, it is done to see that you get more tourists who will bring in foreign exchange, who will uplift the GDP. Then provision for both basic infrastructure facilities are increased because of the government policy, with the funds coming in form of foreign exchange that would be utilized to improve on infrastructure facility, like making up roads, building up airports, putting up internet towers, etc. As a part of tourism development, as a part of overall area development, obviously, if anything is being developed not only for tourists, the area develops, connectivity develops, new airports are built not only for tourists, the local people also benefit, and as a result, the development of the whole area happens, and the required facilities and incentives to both domestic and foreign investors to encourage private investment in the tourism sector. Our government has a very clear policy where investment in tourism sector is always welcome. We do get investment coming in and government encourages that. Some of the state governments are giving incentive to private investment coming in the form of tourism development. They give incentives, they give tax holidays, they give benefit to such to investing organization who invest in tourism sector. Now we come to technology, another factor. Technology is the major influential factor for demand for travel and tourism. I have enough spoken on to that. Technology in form of internet, technology form of gadgets, technology like artificial intelligence, and all those technologies that we have discussed in the previous slide are responsible for demand creation. Imagine you going on a holiday to a new destination and you are told we don't have internet in our country. Where would you stand? And increase reach of media. So media is going through WWW, which is World Wide Web, has increased the demand. You cannot depend only on your travel agent You go on your internet, you put www and whatever you would like to search, you have an answer for that. That has created a demand. Social media, the buzzword of today. Imagine anybody who is living without a social media these days, especially in the major cities. No. That is why we have the highest number of internet users in the world. And we are the lowest cost of internet. We are not the highest user, I'm sorry. We have the lowest cost for internet because government want most of us to use internet and continue learning. Then availability of smartphone, growth of social media, and its followers in India. Here are some statistics. In 467 social media users in January 22, digital media, India media users in India have increased by 19 million. These are some statistics worth reading. Please go ahead in this. So this is how the technology has gone up, percentage increase, and you can see the graph rising only. And technology, the travel reality shows includes destination previews. So in technology, you can see everything. You can go on a web portal, see the real videos of the real, the destination, the pictures, the photograph, the history through travel. So through a lot of information you do get. So the collective effect of media watching has already become inspiration for the travel demand. All these factors that we have been counting influence the travel demand and the social consumer attitude. With this, I conclude. You were listening to Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah. Thank you for listening to me.